Late last week, only one of the fleet's vessels was moored up at the new year-round boat harbor in Chignik Bay.
How's it going?
Good, how are you, man?
Not bad. Doing some repairs?
Always, man. Always.
Doug Peterson is the skipper of the 48-foot Sainer Diana.
I grew up fishing here. This is my first year back in 17 years. I started out fishing up there when I had a boat when I was 20 years old, but I fished with my family since I was like 6 years old. So, yeah, I definitely grew up with the fishery here.
The Diana is a beautiful boat, just a couple of years old, and the skipper and his nephew, Roddy Carlson, are running the RSW system as he gives a quick tour.
It's like an expanded version, I guess, of a Bristol Bay Gillnetter. They're all pretty fancy little boats, you know, and comfortable. Of course, I've got my own wheelhouse up there, so I stay up there at my bunk and everything up there.
Peterson points out one very obvious difference between the Chignik fleet and the Bristol Bay fleet.
We don't pick fish here. We roll them on board. Up to 3,000 pounds in a roll. That's so much easier than gillnetting. It's efficient. If they had these boats up there, one-fifth of the fleet could catch the entire. And that's why they didn't go. They restricted boats like this and the size just so it allows more participants. You know, so much fish up there, it's fine for, there's like 1,800. There's only 100 here, or a little less, 98 or 96 here.
When fishing, Peterson and his skiff man will set out their 220 fathoms of net.
We cut him loose, he's attached to it, and he hangs onto it and sets it out and kind of hold it perpendicular to the direction of the fish. Put a curve in it, and they start stacking up inside. Usually it's a 30-minute set, close up, take it in, pucker the bottom, and roll them on board. We got two fish holes. This one that we're chilling down holds 30,000 pounds. And we've got we call it a Sunday hole back there that holds another 15,000. We generally don't use it. We use it for storage. Fishing gets real heavy, then we'll empty it out with our extra supplies and we'll use it if we have to. I prefer not to because the boat sits up nice and high now. Fill that full, she goes down pretty deep. It's less safe out on the rough water fishing, you know, because the deck's awash and knocks people down, so.
The fish are nice and
nice and cold. It should be at 34 to 36 degrees.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm ready for a good season.
Managing the Chignik area fishery falls to a small fish and game staff led by area management biologist Todd Anderson. He and his staff are based at the Weir Counting Station on the Chignik River, a one-of-a-kind setup to count sockeye escapement.
The Chignik Weir itself here is the largest weir in the world that I'm aware of. Been in operation since 1922, first under the Federal Bureau of Commercial Fisheries and taken over by the state at statehood. It's unique geologically in a way. We're close enough to the lagoon that we have a tidal input here, so we can float a pile driver to put 33 spruce pilings that we ship over from Kodiak at the start of the season. It's about a 400-foot-long weir that we install. We do all of that just for two small camera gates, about a foot and a half, 2 feet by 2 feet, that allow passage, uninterrupted passage throughout the season. And the video feed is sent into the office, and we do counts daily, starting the last few days of May, going all the way through the first couple of days of September. Every hour, we do 10-minute counts and extrapolate that for the hour. Certainly over the course of the season, it's quite accurate.
On the processing side, the only cannery in the Chignik's was the Trident plant that burned to the ground in 2008 and hasn't been rebuilt. There are four buyers this year, two cash buyers, plus ISA from Kodiak, and in Chignik Bay, a Signature Seafoods floating processor under contract with Trident. That's the 225-foot vessel Ocean Fresh. And giving us a tour on board was John Kelly.
I am the Alaska Operations Manager. It's Signature Seafoods. Our vessel is the Ocean Fresh. We have 110 people on board. The season was phenomenal so far. We're going to have a great season.
I'll take you through the plant, the wave of fish. So these two are your standard fish pumps as any other tender. The outside pump pumps from the tender, and we have two options. We have four RSW tanks in the deck below us that hold between 75 and 90,000 pounds per tank. So we can either go into those tanks or we can take them straight to the line. And generally when we're running tenders that are 65-70% one species, we'll go straight to the line, sort it from that way. But occasionally you're gonna get a tender that's 25% chum, 25% cove, and so forth. So
We'll sort it up there, and each tank will hold one species.
From there, the fish go to one of three different lines where they're head and gutted one way or another.
On the outside lines, we have the Ryko or Morel header gutter systems. First machine takes off the head, takes out the gills. Second machine removes the guts and eggs. Down the middle line, larger kings, larger fish, and it's a totally manual line where it's all done by hand. But everything converges on the line where humans are inspecting every fish. If the fish is damaged, unusable, it goes back into the grinding system. Otherwise, it's cleaned and it goes down into the fish cleaning system. And this washes the fish top and bottom. But this is designed for farm fish. Farm fish has a lot of slime on it. And it's essentially a car wash for fish. And it will clean the inside, outside of a fish, and obviously the slime off of it and anything else that's left on it.
At that point, every fish passes one of three employees who inspect them for size, species, and grade, and their weight on a motion-compensated scale. The fish go into a pan, then to the freezer, are broken out, glazed, stored in bags, and put into 1,000-pound totes. Every box carries a label that Kelly says, if a customer has a complaint, he can track the fish all the way back to the fisherman, even years later. One thing he's particularly proud of is the work schedule kept on the ocean fresh.
Many companies work their employees 16-hour days. We don't. So that entry-level person up there you saw many of, versus the engineers to the captain to myself, we work 12-hour days. And it's a long story, but we can look at the injury rates on employees no matter what level, whether it be entry level or management. After you're working 12 hours, your accident rate skyrockets. We have four shifts. We run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have a shift that starts at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock a.m. and p.m. When they start a 7 o'clock shift, they'll work 3 hours and have a 15-minute break. Work 2 hours, 45 minutes, have a half-hour lunch. Work 3 hours and have a 15-minute break. And work the other 2 hours, 45 minutes, and they're off work. But doing this, our accident rates are low, our productivity is high, and with four breaks like that, we try to train them on four different jobs. So they're using different muscle groups, their mind is engaged, and they're not dying of boredom.
Kelly says they'll process between 14 and 15 million pounds of sockeye in their season, which started on June 10th and runs through August 20th. The product will ship extensively in the lower 48 and all over the world. Last year, the 70 or so permit holders fishing in the Chignik hauled in about 1.8 million sockeye. The ex-vessel value of the fishery was nearly $14 million, which, as Anderson says, rounded out to a pretty good average for the fleet.
Averaged anywhere from $150,000 per permit to upwards of $280,000 per permit for the season. This year is looking like much like last year, probably anywhere from $150,000 average to $250,000. Average.
And when the sockeye season is over, the purse seine fleet in the Chignik can retool to fish halibut, Pacific cod, and even crab throughout the rest of the year. For the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, I'm Dave Benninger.